Really exciting. Candy sale hasn't even started yet. You can't be this tired yet, man. We got it coming up. It's always exciting. All right, so it's not exciting. Luke chapter 2. I'm just waiting for Mr. Wright, see if he was going to get up here and do some kind of skit and run it for me like Dr. Mitchell and I did for him last week. But he just said, go ahead. All right. So Luke chapter 2. Let's begin in verse number 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, this is speaking of Jesus, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Tonight I'm going to try to talk about developing a well-balanced teen. Or perhaps the better way to say it would be developing a teen into a well-balanced adult. But regardless, the idea of balance and the idea of training our teenagers are both supposed to be there. You pick the title. Doesn't matter to me. Let's have a word of prayer and then let's look at this tonight. Our God, Lord, we're grateful that we have your word. And Lord, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in life, God, what circumstances, what issues. Lord, every answer, every solution is in your word. And sometimes I think we take that lightly, but Lord, I thank you that that is true. I thank you that, Lord, that you gave us a church that we could be a part of, that God could strengthen us and help us to raise our families, Lord, for you, especially in a day and age when our society is so bent against you and your word. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this time. Now, Lord, I don't want it to be wasted, so I pray that you would speak through me, that I would simply be your vessel. I pray that, God, you would use this lesson, your word. I pray that, God, you give me the right words to say, and, Lord, that it would be a help to each one here tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We find here a story about Jesus, the only story we really have in his childhood. And the Bible says he was 12 years old, and at 12 years of age, he is there in the temple. He's asking questions. He's giving answers that is astonishing the religious leaders of his day. And the Bible says then after that, after the 12 years old, it says in verse 52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, if we were to take that in context of the story, this means that he did this during his teenage years. He got wiser during his teenage years. He increased in stature. That word carries the idea also of maturity. And in favor with God and man. And yes, I'll repeat it just to make sure we understand this. Jesus actually did this as a teenager. And I repeat that because most of the time we look at teenagers and we say, teenagers, maturity. Teenagers, wisdom. Does this all go together? Well, yeah, it does. And our job when we are trying to train our young people, that age of life as a teenager is the time period. Boy, you see it so clearly when they come in seventh grade. All right? They come in seventh grade, and at sixth grade, our sixth graders are already this way. I did fifth and sixth grade band on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Anyway. We did fifth and sixth grade band. And they have achieved the pinnacle. They have got it figured out even better than our seventh graders. But our seventh graders had it figured out when they came in seventh grade too. But I mean, in sixth grade, they are on top. I mean, they have got it all figured out, and they have got it. And then they are going to come into the youth group, and all the seniors and juniors are already shaking their heads. I see that, Diego. I do. And they're like, yeah, buddy. Bring it on. We're ready for them. And they're going to come in seventh grade, and they think they've got it all, and all of a sudden they are toast because they're in the bottom rung of the ladder again. And the sixth graders, really all they've achieved is a massive amount of immaturity and a massive ego to go with it. They've kind of got that together. And so they're coming in seventh grade, and it's during this time period that we're hoping and we are desiring and we are working on them growing up and turning into godly young men and women. And once they hit seventh grade, you got 6 years. And then hopefully you're looking at them heading out of the house, getting a job, going to college, and beginning to serve God. Well, I'm not beginning to serve God, but beginning to do a ministry and do more things that will be apart from you. You got 6 years. And yet that 6 years can be such a powerful molding time for our young people. And it's an exciting time. We laugh at them, we make fun of them, and we, you know, we do all these things. But it is, every time I get in front of our, no, not every time, okay, when they look like rednecks, you're thinking all kinds of other things. But anyway, when you get in front of our young people and you look at it, so many times it comes to me and I think, if they can just make it and excel and go off and do something for God, I'm tired of the devil getting our teenagers. The world has enough of them. They've got too many of them. They've got them brain dead and drugged up, and they're going to turn out to be a bunch of nothing people that just keep voting in liberals all over and over again. That's all we've got in our country. We need something different. And we can't change the whole country. But we can, we've got about 50 to 60, and with everybody coming in our buses, over 100 that we can have some impact on. And we want to see that happen. So as parents, don't take it lightly. They've hit the teenage years. Don't take it lightly. Okay, well, they're a teenager now. Praise God, we've got a youth group. I hope they raise them good. That's not my job. That's not my job. I didn't come here to raise your kids. I came here to help you raise your kids. I came here to be another tool. And this church is a tool. And the academy is a tool. And everything right now, our 7th and 8th graders, they're being trained in a number of different things in our teen class back there. Some practical things in the ministry, some things that are doctrinal. All of these things, they are tools. But you have got the job of raising your teenager. Now, how do you want them to turn out? And hopefully your teen's not a senior and you're just now going, huh, I never thought about that. I hope that's not where we're at tonight. But how do you want your teen to turn out? What is the end product when they get done with the teenage years and you look at them suddenly, and it's going to seem suddenly, and they're a young adult and they're going into Bible college and they're all of a sudden getting interested in somebody of the opposite gender and you're thinking, oh great, they're going to get married and they're going to go off. What is that end result going to look like? Now obviously they're not done. They got their whole life ahead of them. But at that point, what are you looking for? What do you want it to be? And when we look at that and we figure out what it is we want to be, then let's backtrack and let's say, all right, what are we going to do to get them to that point? And by the way, I'm talking about teenagers, but anybody in here that have children, you ought to already be thinking this. We ought to have goals for our kids already. Now the world gets goals for their kids. Just go to any little league game of any sport. And man, they've got some goals. And they've got some people they've got their kids in band, and they think their kid is going to be the next, you know, whatever. Or they've got their kids in sports, and they're going to be the next Michael Jordan, the next LeBron James. They're going to be the white LeBron James. They're going to be the Mexican LeBron James. Whatever. They've got it all figured out, and they are going to get it. And they've got these goals, and they've got them for their kids, and they will sacrifice anything to achieve it. And what I think is sad is that so many times the world has got their worldly goals, and they will sacrifice anything to achieve it with their teens, but Christians won't set godly goals and sacrifice anything to achieve that with their teens. And that's foolish. We need to get to that point. So some goals that we really shouldn't have. Some goals that we should not have. All right? Then let's get to some things we should. But our purpose in raising our teens should not be, balance is not this. Well, Pastor Parrish, I want them to have the best of both worlds. I want them to have some balance. Now, most of the time when that has gotten told to me, it usually means, Pastor Parrish, my child's going to miss the teen activity because. Pastor Parrish, my child can't make it to church because I'm trying to achieve balance. Now, balance that excludes church and teen activities is the wrong balance. Okay? Let's put it simple. That's the wrong balance. The best of both worlds. Find that in the Bible. Well, we've got to live in the world. Yeah, but we don't have to be of the world. Find that in the Bible. Oh, you can find some people that tried to have the best of both worlds. I got a dad that comes to mind now. Let's see, what was his name? His name was Lot. Yeah. How'd his daughters turn out? He managed to only get two out of Sodom. But he never got Sodom out of his two daughters. Before long, they were having his kids. The best of both worlds never works. You go for the best of both worlds, they get the best of one world, and it's not God's. I want them to have all the things that I missed out on as a child. Well, if you missed out on a Christian home, then that's a worthwhile goal, if that's what you mean by that. But if you mean, well, we didn't have these comforts, and we didn't have this, and we didn't have that, and I want my kids to have that, you're missing it. You're missing what the point is. I want the world to recognize that a Christian can grow up and be successful. Well, doesn't that sound good? Oh, that just sounds wonderful. Well, you're the hero of all Christianity. Your child is going to go up there, and you're the trophy that your child can be successful. You know what? If the world has figured out that my child is successful, then my child is not successful. Because it is, he is successful by their standards. And why? Okay, again, what was just talked about, this bill going on down there. We have a constitution that already says that Congress will make no infringement upon our rights and the things we believe. We've already got that. And yet we've got to go down and we've got to pass a bill that says we're still going to follow the law of the land. And one of the teens was telling me, they were down at this rally, and I was going to use this at a different point, but crack me up. They're talking about something, and somebody said, well, the Constitution says, and one of these, you know, gay people, they're like, which they're not, but they, anyway, one of these sodomites, they're like, oh, you're going to pull the Constitution card. I didn't know the Constitution was a card. If they would go to the National Archives, they'd find it was the law of the land. Oh, the Constitution card. It's the race card. Oh, you're so stupid. They can't think. That's the world you want to please? Well, the world has decided we're successful. You know, it's amazing to me. Some of the people that have created the conservative music. Bill Hardecker was talking to one of them at a Wilds whatever they call it, a convention, conference, music conference, or something like that. And he asked her, he said, why are they changing? And I forget the example he used. He said, why are they changing on that? And this was one of the ladies' answer, one of the composers or arrangers or whatever. She said, well, we just want that the idea was the intellectual society to recognize that we write quality music too. Well, who cares? Who cares? I thought the point of our music was to honor and glorify God. And what are they saying? Well, it's no different than when I used to listen to the Cathedrals. They wanted to be recognized for their ability to, you know, to jazz it up and do everything like that and then run all over the stage and dance all over the stage. They were looking for the world's approval too. It doesn't matter if you dress it up and put a bow tie on it and call it intellectual, or you dress it down and get a, you know, what do you call that? I call it the skateboard hairdo. You know, the hair goes up like, let's say a skateboard ramp. You're going to kind of go over the side. It doesn't matter. If you're going to please that group or the intellectual group, it's still the world. What's your goal in raising your children? It ought to be for them to come as close to the standard that God sets for us as possible, and that standard is the Word of God. Now, as we look at this idea, that's the introduction, so I got to get moving. As we look at this idea of a balanced teenager, this is the perspective that we need to focus on. And this is, if I don't get to the rest of it, this is the heart of the lesson tonight that I would like you to catch. We need to keep our eyes on the whole picture. The whole picture. You say, what do you mean? Well, sometimes we cater our training to the part of the teaching at church or school that we like. Okay? So, if you love sports, then it's real easy to jump on the character aspect. Well, my child, my boy, he is going to excel in sports. Man, I'm glad we got this sports program, and he is going to have the best character, and I don't let him cut anything in practice, and man, I'm doing really good on him, and I got him down, and man, he is going at it, and that's good, all right? I'm not downplaying that. You're going to see that in a minute. But some people go overboard on that, and you ask, well, how are your kids having their devotions? Well, I don't know. I haven't asked them. But they did their workouts. You missed it. You missed it. You say, well, Coach Wright, no. He and I talk all the time, and he's right down there agreeing with me. If that is all you get out of it, you missed it. And not only you're missing what he's teaching them. Okay? You're missing the whole point of the program. Well, then there's others. And they're the more spiritual. Well, my child's not going to miss teen activity, and my child, boy, they're going to take care of this and band and everything like that. But you know, Pastor Parrish, my child is not athletic. I don't recall saying anything about him being athletic. I just had him in basketball for the last 3 weeks. You don't have to tell me that. I'm joking. They're wrestlers, and they're good at that. But, and you don't have to agree with that, coaches. But anyway, my point is this. Well, my child's not athletic. No, you missed it too. You missed it. The point is the character teaching. The point is the self-discipline. And so you say, well, you know what? I'm going to make sure my child has their devotions, and I'm going to make sure they're doing this, and I'm make sure doing that. But you know what? If they don't run, and if they don't do this, and they don't do that in the sports and all that kind of stuff, well, it's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're missing it. You're getting laser focused on one area. Well, then there's the scholar. Well, now my child, they are going to excel in the arts and the scholastic achievements. And so they have got it down when it comes to school. Man, their grades are top notch. And they're not athletes. And they may not be the most spiritual person in the class. But they have got it right there where it counts. And they are going to do something. You missed it too. You're missing it. It's not one thing. It's all of it. And if you don't get anything else out of the lesson tonight, that's the point. We want our teenagers to get it all. Because here's the thing, all right? If I had to pick one, I want my teenager to be godly. All right? I don't argue that. But if they're godly and can't get out of bed in the morning, then what are they going to do with what they've learned? And if they're godly and they cannot take what they know and reason with, and by the way, look, they don't have to get a real super high education to reason with these people. Because their intellectual arguments aren't real intellectual. They're just plain stupid. All right, to put it on a level and a word that they can understand. That's all it is. But the point is, they need all of this to make them an effective Christian. And everything, and here's the beauty, here's what you got to get. If you're here tonight, a member of Fairhaven Baptist Church, you have the chance to give it all to them. And you're a fool if you throw it away. Any part of it. You got to keep your eye on the whole picture and keep your eye on the whole purpose. We are not creating better, a better you with your child. You understand what I'm saying? We're not trying to create the you that you always wanted to be, man. Oh, man. We used to in Missouri. And I got in trouble one time for saying it, but it was true. Shouldn't have said it, but it was true. But we had these parents, and they couldn't send their kids to Bible camp. Their kids could never go on the bus route. In fact, the uncle could never go on the bus route because he had to go out to eat every Sunday after the morning service. So he couldn't drive a bus. He's one of the few guys that had a CDL, so I had to run the program from the bus seat. But anyway, and they could never send them to all these things. But all of a sudden, man, our sports were basketball and volleyball, and they were getting on the basketball with the boys, and they were getting on the volleyball with the girls. And I mean, they were just living it, and they were, you know what they were doing? They were trying to relive their teenage years through their kids. Not very successfully, I might add. Now, all those teenagers are now young adults in their 20s. Most are not in church at all. Why? Because they lost sight of the purpose. You're not raising. By the way, all right, you're going to find nobody as patriotic as me, but you're not trying to raise the next great American. You're not trying to raise the next great sports player, the next great politician, the next great career woman or career man. You're trying to raise God's young person. And they are a stewardship on loan to you to train. They belong to God. That's the purpose. And you can't lose sight of that. And you can't lose sight of the whole plan. We got to remember, we're not floundering through life with our children, with our teenagers, saying, well, I just hope they can do something good with their lives, something that'll be remembered. That's not the point. God already has a plan for their life. And you're trying to help them find it. And right now, you're trying to help them prepare for it. And I tell our teens all the time, it frustrates me sometimes because some of our teens, they get thick-headed. And they don't want to listen and learn anything. Nobody can teach them anything. They've already figured it out at 15 years old. And I'm trying to get them. You don't know. You don't know what God has for you, and I don't know what God has for them. So they need to open up, they need to learn, and understand what I'm saying. They need to learn everything they can from a ministry perspective, from an educational perspective, as far as with a godly education. And when I say open up, learn everything they can, that doesn't mean go home, let them go get a TV and turn it on and let them filter it, all that stuff in. But I'm saying they need to learn how to learn. And to want to get everything they can because they don't know what God has for them to use. He has a divine master plan. We're trying to prepare them for that. So based on this passage, increase in wisdom, stature, favor with God and man, I would say there are four areas that we need to look at our teens. And I'm going to try to make it as simple as I can. I won't have time to put a lot of application to it, okay? But I'm going to give you four areas. And in each of those four areas, I'm going to give you five things that you can be doing and looking at to train your teen in that area to make sure they're being trained right, okay? And those four areas would be these. They would be physically, mentally, spiritually, and socially. I'm going to use that word stature, even though a lot of it grew in his maturity, but it also, physically, we need to be training our young person in wisdom, mentally, in favor with God, spiritually, in favor with man, socially, we need to be training them. And then just to go ahead and give these to you, there are five things in each of those areas that you can be working on. One, goals. Goals. What do you want them? What is your end goal in mind for your child physically, spiritually, mentally, socially? What's your goal? How do you want them to get there? You say, oh, well, kind of always thought they'd just get there. Well, get where? Get a goal, a godly one. There ought to be a game plan. There ought to be an end result we're trying to get to with our kids. And I think sometimes we don't have one. That's the reason some of the problems. The second thing you need to be working on with them in each of these areas, and that is this, choices. All right, if you are setting some goals, there are going to be some choices that they have to make. So you're trying to train them in how to make those choices to achieve the end goal. It's all real simple. But I tried to make it just in such a way to give us something to think about. So if we are trying to achieve a goal and we're going to make choices to achieve that goal, there's a third thing we need to put in our child's life, and that is habits. Habits. From the time our kids could open them, we have little New Testaments that at some point, my wife and I both, when we were in grade school way back when and didn't know any better, and they may have been better then, I don't know. But anyway, the Gideons came in. And so we got these, and back then, some of them were King James. Now, anyway, regardless, just to get away from that, don't want to lose the point. We have these little New Testaments. So, and they're King James. I'm just trying to make that point, okay? All right, they're King James. They can't read them yet, but they're still King James. All right, but every morning we try to get our kids out, and they open them, and they're usually looking at them for a few seconds, and then we try to teach them a few things to pray for a while. There, Ben was always praying for us to travel. All right, that's to have safe travel. I didn't know where we traveled. We were traveling to the school. We were traveling to the table to eat, whatever. But have safe travel. He was always praying for that. And it was kind of funny to hear some of those things. And you say, and I had some parents, even in Idaho at first, they were kind of like, well, you know, and I hear parents today do this. Well, I don't want it to become a habit. Well, do you have them get dressed in the morning? Do you have them brush their teeth? I hope. Not some, I don't know. But, well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want them to be unclean. Mm-hmm. And? Spiritually, why aren't we trying to get them to choose some habits? Now, by their teenage years, it ought to be more than a habit. But some of our teenagers, I've talked to them, it's not a habit yet. Needs to be. Needs to be. I'm talking about devotions, but there's all kinds of habits then. So we want a goal. They need to make some choices. They need to get some habits. And then, this needs to be their parent. Consequences. You say, what do you mean? Well, you're trying to get them to make the right choices, right? And you're trying to get them in the right habits, right? The best way to get them to make the right choices and to get them in the right habits is to make sure that there are consequences when they don't do them. Well, but it's just, you know, it's just do their homework. Yeah, there should be consequences. Well, the school will take care of that. The school's not here to raise your kid. You're here to raise your kid. And we're trying to wake them up and help them understand life. There's a reason our kids grow up and they go off and they think the world is just going to give them money and the world is just going to clothe them and the world is just going to, and they vote that way so that we are doing that now. But they somewhere along the way, it started in a home where a parent never trained them. There's consequences for not doing the right thing. So we got to get that in their lives. And then lastly, accountability. Accountability. You're having them set some goals. You're having them make some choices. You're having them start doing the right habits. There are consequences if they don't do it, but there's also accountability. Now you say, why accountability? Well, it's simple. I'm gonna give you something that is really deep. Your job as a parent is to be a parent. I know that. That was deep, right? And I'm being a little sarcastic, and I'm not trying to be rude. But we deal with it all the time, every Saturday, don't we? 4-year-old kid. Well, I figure they need to start learning how to make their own decisions, so I just let them decide if they're coming to church or not. They're 4 years old. Well, they got to make their own decisions sometime. Not at four. What are they really saying? Well, I had a kid, but I didn't mean to. I'm not trying to be crude, but I'm just, that's a fact. They don't want to be a parent. That's what the abortion industry thrives on. Oh, I'm sorry this happened to you. Let's just kill them so you don't have to be bothered by it. Now, that's the world. That shouldn't be us. It's our job to train them. And if it's our job to train them, we need to set up an accountability and we need to check on it. Physically, mentally, socially. I only got a little bit of time, so let me just get through this real quick. Physically, it would be things like this: their health, their eating habits, their exercising habits, and I would say their work ethic. Doing the chores at home. You say, what chores? Please don't say what chores. Their chores at home. Their work habits. You've got to keep them accountable. They've got to have goals that they're trying to do. You're making choices. You're trying to create habits. They've got to have a work ethic. They know they're supposed to work. They know they're supposed to exercise. They don't do it, there should be consequences. Some of our teens, we've got a few that have some health issues. And they've got to eat a certain way. We've got a couple that keep passing out. Some are struggling with it. I'm not trying to be rude. But some have passed out because you ask them, and it's 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and they say, I didn't eat all day. That's stupid. And your teenager is being a rebel by not doing that. And I've already warned them. They're not going on a teen trip if they can't, I can't trust them to eat for Pete's sake. That should not be something I have to work on. It's dumb. I said, well, Pastor Parrish, what, do you want to do it? Apparently not, because you're not making them eat. I'm just saying. All right, those are a few specific situations. And some are. Some have got some health issues. Those are legitimate. Okay, well, what is it they have to eat? What is it they have to do? And let's work on it so that they get that under control, because they still need to do something for God. And they can. I'm not trying to be unthoughtful or unsympathetic, but I'm saying we've still got an end goal in mind. And when all these things come up in life, we don't just throw up our hands and say, I can't do it. No, we get a game plan and we work at it. Mentally, and they're learning. It doesn't matter if they're an A student, they need to be trying to learn. They're planning, learning to be responsible, their philosophy on things. Hopefully we'll talk about that next week. They're spiritually, what is their relationship with God like? How are they serving God, surrendering to God's will for their life? Socially, what are their friends? Their separation from the world, how are they influencing the world for Christ? What about their future spouse? You say, well, they're teens, they don't date. Yeah, I know. But you ought to already be talking to them about the kind of person they would be doing that. You all want to already have a relationship so that when, I don't know if you know this or not, but they already are going to like somebody. We hope. It's the goal, all right? But they need to know how to control it. It needs to know how to be directed. What do they want to do when they're in their life? Question is, do you know where your teens are? Demerits. I'm amazed so many times that parents are shocked when their kids have so much detention. Let me make it real easy for you, okay? We got a youth table down near where some of the old workout rooms were, and I make sure that every week all the demerits and detentions for all the high school is posted there. Isn't that a blessing? So you can know. You're surprised by homework files. You shouldn't be surprised by any of these things. You ought to be setting up some accountability and make sure you know what's going on in your teenager's life so that our teens become the well-balanced teens they're supposed to be.